Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Hardwood Handicappers. This is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor, with a Wednesday episode for all of you. Hardwood Handicappers is sponsored by Better Picks, the fantasy app that turns your basketball takes into cash. Download the Better app and use code VSINPOD to get $10 free. No deposit needed. That's VSINPOD. And we have a link in the description for those of you that are watching on YouTube. I want to start off today by talking a little bit about what we saw last night, because I do think that there were some big performances from some, you know, teams that I think that we should talk about a little bit. The first one being the Magic winning outright as 3.5-point underdogs against the Warriors. Weathered a storm from Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler. Those two combined for 67 in the game. And Orlando still held Golden State to only 109.8 points per 100 possessions, which would be 26th in the NBA over the course of an entire season. Like, it was a very strong defensive performance from the Magic. It's a team that I've been saying over the last couple episodes is starting to look a little bit more like what we've seen over the last 2 years, where this has been a top five defense in basketball. That defensive rating over the last six games is now where Orlando was over the last two seasons. So I think this Magic team is back to looking elite defensively. I think that they're starting to really figure some things out offensively. Last night, even without Paolo Banchero, they had six players in double figures. A really strong play from the point guard position where Jalen Suggs and Anthony Black played very well together. And Black has been one of the early stories of the season for me. I think he looks like one of the most improved players in the league. Not a player that I'd be looking at in the most improved player market, but just giving the Magic some really good, you know, punch on both ends of the floor off the bench. And then I will give some props to, you know, Wendell Carter Jr., who has a career high true shooting percentage this year. I think he looks a lot more comfortable playing with Desmond Bane and a player like that. Just offensively, like he's been a lot better as a roller this year, making decisions as a passer. And I think that he's looked a little bit better and more efficient as a scorer. Maybe it's the Angel Reese bump. They are, you know, confirmed to be dating right now. But overall, it's a Magic team that, you know, after a very slow start to the season, now starting to look like a challenger in the Eastern Conference, which is what we all expected when they acquired Desmond Bane in that big trade with the Grizzlies, where they gave up, you know, all of that draft capital. The other team that I wanted to talk about is a team that I've talked about a little bit as well. The Detroit Pistons, who just won their 11th game in a row with a victory over a similarly hot Hawks team in Atlanta. It was another strong defensive performance from Detroit, who is now second in the league in defensive rating. Held the Hawks to 112 points per 100 last game. And it's just a team that I'm thinking needs to make a move at the deadline, not because they need to get better in order to stay afloat. Like, no, they need to make a move because they need to push some chips in and see what they can do in this Eastern Conference. It is a beaten up Eastern Conference. We've talked about it all summer. We talked about it at the start of the season. It's really the Cavaliers and Knicks at the top, with the Magic being, you know, one of the few contenders, but the Pistons are number one in the Eastern Conference right now in terms of record. And, you know, I'm not the first, you know, basketball podcaster to say this. Pretty much everybody that has a microphone has said that Lauri Markkanen would be a great fit in Detroit. But financially, like, it couldn't work out better with a move of Tobias Harris, Jaden Ivey, Ron Holland, and some picks going to Utah for Markkanen. Like, I think that that is a home run trade for both teams. I think you go to war in the Eastern Conference with, you know, a core of Cade, Asar Thompson, Lauri Markkanen, and Jalen Duren, who looks like a top five center in the league now. And then you still have, you know, a pretty strong bench because of some of the, you know, nice moves you made on the outer parts of the rotation this season, in the offseason. And then Utah gets what it wants for Markkanen in some young pieces to develop, whether that's Ivy, you know, a player that's been injury prone to start his career, but has a lot of talent offensively. And then Holland, to kind of like a ball of clay that they can mold into whatever they want. A very good, you know, defensive player, a very good transition player, someone that if you figure out the jumper can become a very high level starter in this league. And then just a lot of picks, which is what, you know, the Angels want in a move for Markkanen, who they just signed to a massive extension. But I would love to see that move, because I don't think Detroit is far off from contending. And I think it's time that they go out and do something. I would love that move for both teams. All right, so now let's get into the Wednesday night games. I'll be honest, I'm going to skip Thunder Kings and Wizards Timberwolves. I've said before, I don't often play these games with, you know, near 20 point spreads, and we have that in both of these games. So they're going to be complete passes for me in terms of sides and totals. However, you know, if you look at the website at vsin.com a little bit closer to tip off, I might add some player props on both of them. Like, I usually will dip back into those games at around two or three after I'm done with some of my other work and see if there's any value I can find on the props market. But we'll start with Rockets Cavaliers for tonight. This is my favorite game of the night, so we're starting off with a bang. This one is at 7 p.m. Eastern. Cavaliers are getting 1.5 points at home. Total's 233.5. Unfortunately, some injuries on the Cleveland side this game. No Darius Garland again. No Jalen Tyson, and Sam Merrill is questionable. For Houston, it's a relatively clean injury report outside of, obviously, Fred VanVleet's out for, you know, a very long time, if not the whole season, as he recovers from a torn ACL. But no Tari Eason, no Dorian Finney-Smith. But I'd say the Rockets are in much better shape health-wise than the Cavaliers here. And I do think this is a game where I really like Houston on the money line at minus 116 or anything in the minus 120 to minus 125 range. I'd still be looking there. You just look at the course of this entire season, and the Rockets have a better statistical profile than this Cavaliers team. Like, Houston has been the better offensive team. Houston has been the better defensive team. And I just think that matchup-wise, kind of a perfect game for Houston. I mean, you have Amen Thompson to, you know, throw on Donovan Mitchell. That's not going to be a situation where you expect Amen Thompson to go out and completely shut Mitchell down. That just doesn't happen against the best players in this league. But you go out there and, you know, make everything difficult on him, tire him out by the end of the game. And I just kind of wonder if Mitchell doesn't have the best performance tonight, where is all the other offense coming from? Because I don't think that, you know, the Cleveland bigs are going to have a lot of success against Houston's size on the interior. I know that, you know, maybe you'll see some Evan Mobley stuff, like there always is. Like, he's always a threat to score 20 points. But against a Rockets team that has been borderline explosive this year offensively, to, I think, the surprise of a few people, you know, heading into the season, it was a team that without VanVleet, we were a little bit concerned about their shot making, even with the acquisition of Kevin Durant. But, you know, one of the best offensive teams in the league to start this season. So I think that Cleveland struggles to keep up with Houston's offense, and I do think the Rockets slow down the Cavaliers with their, you know, elite defense. And then another play that I'm going to be making in this game, in addition to the Rockets play, I mean, the Rockets money line will be one of my bigger plays of the day. You can go to vsin.com to see how I'm playing that units wise. But I also like Reed Sheppard again at over 11.5 points. That is available at minus 122. I'm at the point where I'm going to continue taking this until it goes up. Like, I know that that's not the, you know, the best and sharpest handicapping in the world, but man, I mean, 12 plus points in six straight games, 15 plus points in four of those six. The minutes are a little bit lower than what you'd be looking for in a player that you know you're backing every night. You know, more in the high 20s than the low 30s, and you do want him to be playing 30 plus when you're taking the over on points. But this is an elite spot up shooter going up against a Cavaliers team that is 27th in the NBA in guarding spot-up opportunities this season. And I just kind of think that we're going to see some threes from Sheppard. We're going to see him kind of get to his pull-up game when Cleveland tries to run him off the line. And I haven't seen anything from Sheppard that suggests that he is only the type of player that takes advantage of bad defenses. Like, that maybe was the case a little bit earlier on, but we have seen him now come up big in some big games, including that game against the Magic. That Houston came back and won. He has just been electric as a scorer off the bench, and I don't really see it slowing down. I think that, you know, Houston needs his shot making, and I think that Sheppard is just a completely different player than what we saw last year. Way more comfortable, way more poised, and I just think capable of taking advantage of a matchup like this. Next game we'll talk about is Hornets at Pacers. The Hornets are 1.5 point road favorites in this game. Total 237.5. I thought about the over in this game. I just think these are two bad defensive teams with, you know, guards that like to push the pace, like to, you know, play up tempo. But my favorite play in this game is Indiana on the money line. Like, I'm still a little bit surprised that we're getting a plus money price on the Pacers right now. I know that it's been a really slow start to this season. You know, all the injuries are piling up in addition to the one with Tyrese Halliburton missing the entire season. Like, Indiana's been very, very unlucky to start the year, and Nesmith getting hurt was kind of, you know, just a kick to the groin while they were already down. But I do think that this is a Pacers team that I would expect to win a game against a similar opponent at home. Like, this is still a team that has a very strong home court advantage. Those fans are always going to show up, even when the team is bad, just because of how big basketball is in Indiana. Rick Carlisle has been a good home coach in his time in Indiana, and I do think that this is a game where the Pacers have the best player on the floor in Pascal Siakam. I don't think that that's the case every single night, but it is tonight. And I do like Andrew Nembhard as like a defender for LaMelo Ball, just somebody that's going to be up in his grill all game. I mean, Nembhard is just relentless when at the point of attack, and he will pick you up at half court. And you know, when TJ McConnell comes in, he'll pick you up full court. And then this is a game where I think that the Pacers, who are very weak at the center spot, are not in terrible shape, because the Hornets are also, you know, pretty weak at the center position. So I think Indiana wins this game at plus money. I think that that's worth taking. And I wouldn't really think twice about it. Like, I know that it's been an ugly start to the year for the Pacers, but I do think this is going to be a team that's somewhat profitable moving forward. I still think that the rotation has a good amount of players in it that you can trust. Attention any listeners who are new to VSiN, signing up for our free daily newsletter is a great way to catch up. Delivered straight to your inbox every morning, VSiN's newsletter offers picks, data, and strategies for the day's betting menu. Sign up for free now at vsin.com/newsletter and start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That's vsin.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSiN. Let's move on to another game that I really like. It's Raptors at Sixers. This is one that I think is going to be very, very fun to just kind of see where both teams are at. Toronto has been very, very hot to start this season. They are 1.5-point favorites in this game. This game tips at 7 p.m. Eastern, total 233.5. This is a Sixers team that I am going to be a little bit, you know, skittish about, with Paul George just having been returning to the lineup last game. He is out tonight. Kelly Oubre Jr. is out tonight. This is a team that is not very healthy at the moment and just kind of has guys shuffling in and out of the lineup. That's always very difficult to kind of deal with early in a season. And I know that this backcourt in Philly is electric. I've talked about it a lot. Like, Tyrese Maxey and Vijay Ejko make up one of the most explosive backcourts in the league. I was telling our producer, Michael Cohen, before this started that, you know, the Splash Brothers were one of the most fun backcourts of all time with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. But I do think that we're getting some really exciting stuff in Philly between Maxey and Ejko. And it's something that's going to be fun to watch for the next decade. But I do think that the Raptors are a very tough matchup for them, because this is a team that has been very good defending pick and roll ball handlers all year. Just very strong at the point of attack, strong guarding above the break threes. And I just kind of think that with, you know, no Kelly Oubre Jr., no Joel Embiid, you're missing two of your most important players defensively for Philly. And this Toronto team has been a little bit better than expected to start the season offensively. They've been a top 10 in the league in terms of offensive rating. So I think the Raptors really should find a way to win this game. I might not end up playing it. This might end up being a play that I throw into, you know, a parlay later on with a team like the Heat that I like on the money line. I'll talk about that next. But I think that I'm going to be looking for alternate ways to play this. But what I will be playing in this game is Emmanuel Quickley over 15.5 points at minus 124. Philly's 30th in the league this season in defending pick and roll ball handlers. Quickly took advantage of the matchup when they played on November 8th, scoring 22 points against this Sixers team. And I just kind of think that Quickly's a player that there's a lot of uncertainty with this Raptors team, because there are so many wings that kind of play very similar ways. A lot of like non-shooting, you know, bulldozing wings and Brandon Ingram and Scotty Barnes, and to a lesser extent, RJ Barrett. He's improved his three-point shot, but definitely a player that likes to attack the rim. Quickly is a player that we know is going to have the ball in his hands. He's going to get 30 plus minutes. He's always going to have opportunities to make plays for himself. And I do think that the Sixers team, for as good as that backcourt is, can struggle to guard, you know, explosive guards. So I think this is a really good spot for Quickley to have, you know, 16 plus points. Next game, I just said I was going to talk about it. Warriors at Heat, 7:30 p.m. Eastern tip. Heat laying 6.5, total 233.5. just a brutal, brutal spot for Golden State. I mean, this is a team that's older, much older rotation. Pretty much everybody in the starting five is on the plus side of 30. And I do think that it's a team that we've talked about it all summer. Like, they are very talented, but you know, the age is definitely a problem, especially during the regular season. Well, this is their third game in four nights. They just played the Magic, a physical defense last night. I think this is a game we're going to see some of the, you know, Golden State stars sitting. Meanwhile, Miami, it looks like they might get Bam Adebayo back. This is a Heat team that already plays at the fastest pace in basketball. I think that they are going to push the tempo, try to tire out the Warriors even more. Maybe Golden State hangs around in the first half, but I do think that the Heat, you know, playing at warp speed, knocking down shots, attacking the rim relentlessly, I do think that they are going to be able to win this game outright, which is why, you know, as I add some parlays for tonight, which is something I usually do over at VSiN.com, the Heat money line will be kind of the anchor of whatever I end up taking in addition to Miami. I think there's going to be some opportunities to add some parlays tonight, and Miami money line is definitely the way to go if you're looking for a start. And the only reason I'm laying off the points in this game is because the Heat have actually been, you know, pretty hard to trust as favorites of 6.5 to 12 under Eric Spoelstra. Something that I find a little surprising given how good of a coach Spo is, but it's not games that they lose outright, but just games that they've struggled to cover. So I would rather take them money line in parlays than lay the points. Next game we'll talk about is Nuggets at Pelicans. This game's at 8 p.m. Eastern. Nuggets are 14.5 point favorites. Total 234.5. Kind of a game that I would borderline flirt with skipping on most days, but I did want to say that Zion Williamson might be back tonight. He's been questionable the last two games for the Pelicans, and not just questionable, but going through his warm-up routines, you know, game-time decisions, very close to playing. I think we'll see him out there for New Orleans tonight. If we do, it might be a game where it's worth coming in and backing the Pelicans if the spread stays around 12.5, 13 when Zion is announced as in. I just think that this New Orleans team is going to be a little bit more competitive than people think the rest of the season. It's a team that I would guess is going to be at 500 or better than 500 in terms of covering spreads the rest of the season, because what you have with this Pelicans team is a team that everyone thinks is terrible and everybody wants to clown on, but the roster is actually a little bit better than you would think for a team that we kind of rip on every single night. You also have a new coach in there in James Borrego, who apparently has a real chance of being named the head coach after the season if he does some impressive work with the group this year. The front office seems pretty open-minded about it. I mean, there are names that we have heard for the Pelicans in terms of, you know, long-term who this coach will be, whether that's Kevin Ollie or Darvin Ham, but it sounds like they are open to James Borrego winning this job. And I do think that Borrego is a really good offensive coach. Like I said, I think there is talent on this roster. And I think if you're going to be getting double digits with this team very often, I could see them being, you know, a bit of a covering machine in the final 60 games or whatever. So I'm just kind of keeping my eye on it. If Zion plays, maybe I'll add a play on the Pelicans. Nuggets, obviously, you know, a wagon, and they are coming off a loss to the Bulls. So they are going to be hungry to kind of get back in the win column and do it convincingly. But you don't always get to win by 20 plus, especially when you're playing on the road. I know that the Pelicans don't have the strongest fan base in the world, at least in terms of attendance, but I think it's a game that could keep somewhat close. Next game, we'll talk about the Knicks at the Mavericks. Knicks laying 5.5, total 231.5. Mavericks plus 5.5 are a pretty strong lean for me, a play that I am considering adding on its own, especially if Jalen Brunson does not shed his questionable tag and play tonight. The Knicks are already without OG Anunoby. I think they're going to sit Brunson. I mean, that is complete guess, but you know, they play their next game on Saturday, which gives them a nice little window here to give Brunson an extra 3 days before playing Orlando in what's a rematch of a game that the Magic won at MSG last week. I think it's a game the Knicks are going to want to win. So I think it's a really good opportunity for them to just kind of sit Brunson and play it safe. I think that Dallas is a play that at plus 5.5 with no Brunson is worth making, but also a play that maybe, you know, I do take some alternate spreads, and maybe that's where I look to go with the Heat money line, to take Dallas like plus 12.5 or something. But the Mavericks have been hard to trust this season because the offense has been awful. But at the same time, they're tied for fourth in the league in defensive rating. the Knicks do not have their full suite of scorers and playmakers without Anobi out. And like I said, maybe no Brunson. I just think this is going to be a game where Dallas does a decent job of containing New York. And I think that there are opportunities that the Mavericks can score against this Knicks defense. I mean, I think Klay Thompson and Max Christie are both going to have some big games for the Mavericks tonight. And Klay Thompson's a player that I'm actually going to on the player props market. I'm going to take Klay to score over 10.5 points. Also going to sprinkle him to have 15 plus, which is available at an outrageous price of plus 300. So half a unit for me there, probably a little bit more than a unit on the over 10.5. But Klay had made 4+ threes in 4 straight games before going 1-for-6 against Minnesota last game. The volume is up. He is taking a lot of three-pointers, and the Knicks are 30th in the league against spot-up shooters this season. Very weak defending both corners and also weak defending above the break threes. So for a shooter like Klay, like, this should be a matchup that he should really love. And I know that the three-point percentage just continues to go down since the injuries. He's at 31.1% this season, but still a player that I think is deadly when you're leaving him open. And I think he's going to have some open looks against the Knicks tonight. But yeah, overall a game that I think that the Mavericks can kind of hang around in. But the big play for me right now is Thompson over 10.5 points, alternate points 15+, and I'll be looking for ways to get Dallas involved in that Heat money line parlay that I mentioned earlier. Last game of the night, Bulls at Blazers. The Bulls are laying 2.5 in this game. Total is crazy high at 244.5, but somewhat justified with these being two teams that are in the top three in the league in pace of play. But I'm going to stay away from the totals in this one, and I'm going to lean Bulls minus 2.5. And this is a play that I might end up adding later on. I want to see what the injury report looks like for Portland. They did not have Drew Holiday or Jeremy Grant last night. Holiday is dealing with a calf issue, and I could see them sitting him out here just to play it safe. I mean, it's a long season. He's an older player. They don't really want to risk him getting injured. But if he's not out there, like, it's very hard for me to turn down the Bulls, even if that spread balloons up to like 4.5 or so. I just think that Chicago is way more efficient than Portland offensively, especially when you're talking about a team without Holiday. I mean, last night, the Blazers only scored 104.8 points per 100 possessions in their, you know, loss to the Suns at home. They looked very unorganized without Holiday offensively. And then defensively, you're losing one of the feistiest players in the league at the point of attack, you know, a quarterback of a defense, which is not something you often say about somebody that's not a rim protector, but just a great two-way player, even at his age. And I just think that if he's not out there, the Bulls win this game, even with Chicago in a bit of a letdown spot after going into Denver and winning that game the other night as double-digit underdogs. I think that the Bulls find a way to win this game and win it somewhat comfortably, you know, depending on the injury report. Before we wrap up with some best bets recaps, let's just say time to put your hoops IQ to the test with better picks. Download the Better app and pick more or less on player stats like points, assists, and rebounds, and track your lineup in real time. Use code VSINPOD and get $10 free, no deposit needed. And with up to 1,000 times multipliers off just two picks, your hot takes can really pay off. Better Picks is live in 33 states. Download Better and use code VSINPOD today. That's VSINPOD. That link is in the description. All right, let's recap some of the best bets for tonight. I have Rockets money line minus 116 versus the Cavaliers. That's going to be a bigger play for me. I'm deciding between 1.5 units and 2 units there. Also going to take Reed Sheppard over 11.5 points at minus 122 in that game. I'm going to take the Pacers money line at plus 110 against the Hornets. Emmanuel Quickly over 15.5 points minus 124 in that meeting with the Sixers. And then Klay Thompson over 10.5 points, minus 105 against the Knicks. And I'm also going to sprinkle 15+ points at plus 300. But make sure you head over to vsin.com. VSIN Pro subscribers will get all my other plays. I will have an article on sides and totals. I'll have an article on player props. You will definitely see some things added today. I know that I've been saying that pretty much every day. But like I said, I do dip back into these games once I'm done with some more work. And I do have a lot that I think that I like here tonight. And also just plenty of stuff over at vsin.com outside of mine. I mean, Steve Mack does a great job with, you know, some of his advanced stats and, you know, betting trends, just some invaluable work that he does for the website that I think that VSiN Pro subscribers are lucky to have on a daily basis. And then, you know, the Opta AI player prop projections, I can't glow about those enough. Like, I really love just kind of looking at that page every day and seeing where some of the biggest edges of the day are, because those are backed by, you know, machine learning and all sorts of numbers that if your handicap matches what they have, always a really good place to start when kind of picking out your bets for that day. But that's all for today. We're going to come back with a big episode tomorrow. We'll have Jonathan Von Tobel on joining me on Thursdays on Jonathan Von Thursdays. And then next week, we're hoping to have Kelly Bidlin join me. So we're only wrapping up over here at Hardwood Handicappers. Let's win some plays tonight on Wednesday and then come back and join me for a Thursday edition of Hardwood Handicappers.